Praise the Lord. Thanks again, Leanne.
Now this morning again we have a guest speaker, and I didn't expect it last Sunday, so I couldn't announce it. What happened was, as you know, Don and I love Romania. And when we had the Yonks here in 2007, at that same time we met Brian and his wife and the team in Timișoara. And so this morning, because Brian's plans have exchanged, we're so happy to have him. He represents Eurovangelism. And these people in Eurovangelism raise money to help churches in Albania and Romania and other parts of the Eastern Europe bloc. And it's a real joy to have him here. Come, Brian, and bring us the word, please. And tell us a little bit about Eurovangelism. God bless you.
Hey, good to be here, Bill.
Thank you. God bless you.
Well, good to be here this morning with you. Thank you for allowing me to share briefly. It's a real joy and privilege to meet Gordon and Donna in Romania. I guess it's just over 2 years ago now. And we clicked right away. And the group that I was with at the time, we were just traveling from Serbia to the middle of Romania, Oradea, actually, in the north. And we had lunch with Pastor Marius Yank. And Gordon and Donna were there hosting us. Thank you very much. We actually got a picture that we just gave to Donna and Gordon, but Donna in specifically, because she's on the picture of the group that was in Eastern Europe, Albania, Romania, and Hungary, and those are the people we traveled with, including our bus driver. The picture's actually taken with the background is the Emmanuel Christian University in Oradea. I want us to, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be reading verse 9 through verse 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The story is told by a lady from Holland. Her name was Corrie ten Boom. She was in a concentration camp by the Germans during the Second World War. She was there with her sister, Betsy. Many of the guards were ruthless men and abused the women very, very much. After the war was over, Corrie was freed. She lived. And on one particular occasion in the late 1950s, Corrie was speaking to a group of people in Germany. And she was talking about love and forgiveness. After the meeting, as would happen, people would come and meet her and she'd shake hands. And one particular man came up to Miss Ten Boom. "Miss Ten Boom, do you remember me?" As she heard that man's voice speaking to her in a rather commanding tone, her mind, she realized that this was one of the guards. The concentration camp where she had been held, where her sister Betsy had died. And Corrie ten Boom, in her book, Tramp for the Lord, says, hatred filled my body. And she says, as it did, and as I remembered that man being a terrible guard, she says, I just prayed in a second or two, Lord, you've forgiven him. Help me to forgive him and love him. And you can imagine all of the thoughts, the fear, the uncertainty, the hatred. And she said, as she prayed that prayer, she said the hatred was filled, replaced by love. She was able to extend the right hand of fellowship to this brother and said to him, God forgives you, I forgive. When I read that and realized I had met Corrie ten Boom many years ago when she was speaking in Canada, it's only the love of God that could allow a prison guard to be forgiven by Corrie. Our chapter in Romans is simply entitled Love. And I want to talk this morning about living in love. This particular book has been written by Paul. Paul doesn't fool around. In Romans 1:1, he says very quickly in his introduction, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And when we realize that this Paul, who used to be Saul, came to Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, we realize that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his background of studying the Old Testament at the time, as he was part of the religious leaders of his day, studied under a number of renowned men, it was that Saul that became Paul. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, went on to preach and to teach and to establish many, many churches. It was this particular Paul who writes the theme of the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And so it's this particular man, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that teaches us today about living in love. Romans is quite a long book, and I, kind of a simple guy, and I remember the four themes of Romans. Sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, what we talked about this morning in our Sunday school hour. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then it talks about salvation. In Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God, we are justified through Jesus Christ. And then it talks about sanctification. Wow, that just really means, how, now that you recognize you're a sinner, confessed your sin, and you've received salvation, what does that mean? Does that mean you continue to swear, continue to steal? No. You try to do your best and say, God, help me to do your will. And then the last part, Romans, is really service. Service. That's why Paul starts his message by, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. It's really, really important for you and I, if we're Christians, to be able to serve others. Sin, salvation, sanctification, and service. The themes of the book of Romans. When we talk about service, I can remember 1996. He's on a trip with 18 people in India. One of our ministries that we were partnering with at the time, when I worked with Partners International, was doing a lot of work in Calcutta, India, a city of about 12, 13 million people in Calcutta at the time. They were doing a lot of work with Mother Teresa's ministry, Sisters of Charity. We went to see one of her homes, the home of the destitute and the dying. And I remember our group came in there. We were in a small room. The sister welcomed us, and she said, Mother is praying right now. The question is, well, how long is she going to be? The sister said, well, we never know how long Mother's going to be. So if you could just sit and wait. We could have been the King of England, or the Queen of England, I guess. And Mother Teresa wasn't talking to the Queen of England, or the King of England, or to Brian Lease. She was talking to her God in prayer and meditation, studying His Word. And that took precedence. About 20 minutes later, she came out, talked to us for about a half an hour. But I remember what I felt while she was talking, the compassion that she had, and how she desired, even at 86 at that time, her desire was to serve others. And her desire was not to serve you or me, because you were not destitute and you were not dying. Remember her telling us the story of the night before a man was brought in. He had probably laid on the sidewalk of Calcutta for 6 to 7 days. He was badly dehydrated at the point of death. He said, we brought them in and tried to feed him some soup, some brothy soup, to try to get some fluid into him. They washed him because human waste was caked on his body. He had probably laid on that same spot on the street for 6 or 7 days. And you can imagine, that's not a very pleasant job to be able to look after that person. She did say that at noon the next day, which was when we were talking to her in the afternoon, the man did pass away. But she said, we tried to show him the hands and the love of Jesus. Mother Teresa said to us, I'm not Billy Graham. I don't preach with my mouth. I preach with my hands. Yes, some preach with their mouth. Many, many preach with their hands. Serving, a wonderful, wonderful testimony of someone willing to serve for many, many years of her life. So our scripture really has 3 points this morning. And I want to talk about those. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. And verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Love must be sincere. How often are we meeting somebody? Oh, hi, how are you? We kind of keep a distance. We really don't gel with the person. It was so nice on Thursday when Ian, who's visiting today, was at the airport, and I had a little time, and we were at Tim Hortons, not knowing each other, and all of a sudden, Ian was there, and he was carrying kind of a box. I said, that's an interesting box you got there. What is it? So anyway, that was our introduction, and we chatted for a while, had a wonderful time. And it turns out that I was having to go, but Ian said, oh, no, I'm not going till 5 o'clock. And I said, well, why don't you try to get on my flight? And so he did, and the lady was very gracious and said, okay, we'll change your flight at no cost. Lo and behold, I sit on this seat, and Ian is 2 seats away from me, 1 seat in between us. Right in the same aisle, not knowing where I was sitting, he didn't know. So anyway, we had a wonderful chat, and I so much appreciate it, and they've invited me for lunch afterwards, which is even better. Love must be sincere. I recently was at a wedding anniversary. 60 years wedding anniversary. 84 and 82, the folks were. What a blessing to be there and to witness. Yes, I'm sure they had their moments, as we all do, but their love's been sincere for 60 years. Praise God for that. The second one, bless those who persecute you. We live in a country where we really don't know persecution. We have some persecution here, and I look at my kids going to school, for example, in years gone by, where there was my daughter's high school. Two of our girls went to that high school, and they had an inter-varsity Christian fellowship group that met every lunch. And they banned them from meeting during school hours. Well, both my daughters were on the bus, so they had to leave right after the bus, and most of the other kids were on the bus too, because we lived in a rural area. This was persecution. And my daughter, who often went with me when I was preaching, because the three youngest daughters used to be a little singing group, and it was kind of embarrassing for Dad when they would call up and said, "Can your daughters come and sing? And oh, by the way, can you come along and preach?" But our daughter went to the principal, and the principal says, "I can't do anything. It's a regulation from the school board." She went to the school board. I took her all the way to Barrie so that she could be at the school board meeting, and she got to speak. And within 3 months, they changed that policy, that if you wanted to have a Christian club, Christian kids getting together for a Bible study over lunchtime, that was okay. And the school board was to give me. And I talked to somebody from that high school the other day, and I said, "How's it going? Are you still?" He's a teacher there. "Are you still able to meet as a club?" And he says, "Yes, we are." He didn't know the history of that. But through my daughter and one of her other friends, they were able to make a difference, even though it was a kind of persecution. So it was that many, many people are persecuted even today. I remember, Adonna, when we were in Albania. In 1956, a law was passed in the country of Albania. There is no God. You don't talk about a God. You don't speak about a God. In fact, you weren't even allowed to think about a God. But they couldn't see those. Religion, Islam, Allah, Buddha, Christianity was banned. And I remember talking to Besa and Agron, who hosted us. When you first got married in 1980, what was it like? They said, "We hardly talked to each other." Because I wasn't sure if Agron was an informer with the government, because out of three people, one of them was an informer, on average. Or Agron wasn't sure if she was an informer. If Agron, the husband, would say to his wife, "Oh, I hate the communist system," she could report that to the authorities, or she could share it with a girlfriend and say, "My husband thinks the communists are terrible." And 3 days later, they'd pick you up and put you in jail of hard labor for 6 months. Persecution. We still have much persecution in many, many areas of the Islamic countries, for example. I think of Indonesia. I've been there. I've had a singing group here from Indonesia, 8-member singing group. And a member got an email one day. Scepter from the island of Sulawesi was leaving his home to go speak at a church. He took one of the seminary students with him, because Scepter was the president of the seminary in Sulawesi Island, Indonesia. He had a student on the back of his motorcycle, and they must have been waiting for him, because there was about 30 men waiting at a stoplight. They stopped his motorcycle, said to him, "We think, deny Christ and follow Islam." And he said, "No, I can't do that." And they beat him to death. Scepter was a younger man, probably 38, 2 children, a wife, and they beheaded him. So Paul here writes about persecution, but he writes about it, and he says, "Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice." Our last point is, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. I live close to the city of Orangeville, just about an hour north of Toronto. One of the churches has just bought the old theater in downtown Orangeville, about 25,000, right on Broadway, and they've turned it into a church. And they realized there were a lot of younger people, some older people, some people with disabilities, hanging around outside, not having a meal. And so they've opened up their church, the old theater, and they serve lunch. They call it the Lighthouse. 5 days a week, they serve lunch. My wife volunteers one of those days. And because they believe it's important to help those who are hungry. And they not only give them a meal, a hot soup, chili con carne, and all kinds of things, but they also share and pray for those who are in need. In fact, this weekend, my wife has the Alpha Weekend. About half of those 40 to 50 people, about 25 of them, have come to the Alpha program to know and have answers about Christianity. Who is Jesus? Did he really live? Did he really die for my sins? And she's just had the Holy Spirit on Friday night and on Saturday for the Alpha weekend. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to help those who cannot help themselves. What a blessing it is to be able to live in love, to be motivated because I want to love the unlovable. No, but Jesus loves the unlovable, and I must follow the example of Jesus and love the unlovable. It's a real challenge when you're in a home that's 15 feet by 10 feet. Donna, you've been in many of those on your trips and things. And I know that every time I have new people with me on a trip that we do once a year, we'll have somebody kind of holding their nose and, you know, four children, five children, grandma's living with the family, and the father can't find work. And you bring a box or two of food that somebody's given the funds for from North America or from England, our office there. What a blessing it is to be able to serve others and to be able to live in love. What a blessing it is to be part of this church. Thank you to Gordon and to Donna and to each of you, John and Brian and Aaron, some of you that I've already met. May God allow you to be a blessing so that many more may come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God bless you.
Well, thanks, Brian. And I just want to share one of the greatest love stories that we saw was in Romania, outside of Oradea, about a mile and a half outside the city. There, as I've told you before, was this lady by the name of Maria, and they lived in a very, very, very small back room with another lady by the name of Maria that had been sick for over 24 years. And she could not get up, she could not move, she could not do anything. The 72-year-old Maria looked after the younger one, as I said, for 24 years, feeding her by fork and spoon, by finger, whatever. And she bathed her and she washed her, and she was with her practically 16 hours a day, all that 24 years. When we were in Romania, we visited Maria the second time, and we found out that her radio was broken and she couldn't listen to any music. So we went out and bought her a $12 radio, Canadian money, and she was so happy to get that radio with the CD. Well, Donna told me that Maria died last year after 25 years of being looked after by this older lady. And it was said of the older Maria that she had never met Mother Teresa, but she must have felt the same spirit because she looked after her. So we here at Harvest are a caring community of faith, extending the love of Christ in practical ways.